What follows is a recording of the question and answer meeting held to discuss the Nordic Aqua Farm's proposal to build a salmon farm here in Belfast. The meeting was held at the Hutchinson Center Wednesday, February 21st, 2018. The recording was made by Ned Leitner of Belfast Community Television.
Welcome, everyone. Thank you all for being here tonight. My name is Samantha Parody, and I'm the mayor of Belfast. I do want to thank you all for being here tonight. I am very grateful to be a leader in such an engaged community. We are here tonight for what is a public informational meeting. This is not a public hearing, and we are not here to receive testimony tonight. We are still in the early stages of this proposal. There are option agreements. These agreements call for a lot of contingencies to be met before we know whether or not Nordic Aqua Farms wants to proceed with this proposed project. Tonight is a question and answer session offered to provide additional clarity and information to the public. Our goal is to provide answers to the questions that we can answer right now, and also to identify the questions that we do not have the answers for yet, so that we can pursue those answers and get them out to the public as soon as we can. There may be additional informational sessions. There are and will be opportunities for public input on this proposal at a later date. But tonight, we want people to have additional answers that will help them with their concerns. The council and I certainly welcome thoughts, and you can speak with us about this proposal at any time by phone, email, or coming to a city council meeting. Our meetings are the first and third Tuesday of the month at City Hall. Council members and Water District representatives are here tonight to listen to the question and answers from our panel. And our panel of speakers tonight includes Eric Heim, CEO of Nordic Aqua Farms, Elizabeth Ransom of Ransom Consulting, Wayne Marshall, Director of Code and Planning, Thomas Kittredge, Economic Development Director, and Keith Pooler, the Superintendent of the Belfast Water District. First, we'll have a presentation tonight from Eric Heim, and then we'll hear from Elizabeth Ransom. We will then proceed to questions. Myself and the city manager, Joe Slocum, will have microphones and go around the room. We ask that each of you only ask one question, and we encourage everyone to monitor the city website for updates on this project as they move forward. You can always come to City Hall with further questions. So at this time, I'd like to hand over the microphone to Eric Heim of Nordic Aqua Farms to start us off with a presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good evening. So one thing we noticed today, you have a lot warmer February days than we do in Norway. It's been a beautiful day today. I'm back here after 3 weeks because we always want to be engaged with communities that we do projects with. This is what we'll be doing in Europe as well. It's a matter of understanding local concerns and also getting local knowledge. That's important for us. And also understanding how this project can work in this kind of a community. In the end, that's an important assessment factor for us, is that everything needs to be lined up in a good way for this project to work in this community. And we are committed to that, so we hope it does. The purpose today is also to try to give you some more information about our company, what we are doing, and what land-based farming is and is not. It's a fairly new way of producing seafood, so I'm sure a lot of you have many questions about what is this and what does it mean. So we're going to try and touch on that. I also have with me Elizabeth Ransom. She's going to be talking a little bit about why Belfast and what led to that assessment. So hopefully it helped answer some questions for you on that as well. And after that, I'm sure we're not going to be able to cover everything in the presentation, so we'll be happy to take questions as well. Some things we cannot answer yet because we just signed the contract 3 weeks ago we just barely started planning. So there's a lot of considerations and assessments that are going to be happening going forward. But we're going to do our best to answer. So one kind of curiosity is how Belfast was put on the international map 3 weeks ago. I was amazed myself, actually. So you sort of become world famous in the fisheries industry. We sort of lost count of the number of articles internationally and domestically in the U.S. after this event we had 3 weeks ago. We were in all the major fisheries publications internationally, in the U.S., New York Times, Washington Post, all over the place. It was quite amazing. It's quite an interest internationally and also domestically. And even in Norway, where we have Belfast on the map. What? Are you having trouble hearing me? Okay, I'm going to speak closer. So this is from the largest financial newspaper in Norway, actually. You can't read this, most of you, I assume. There's one person who can. Sissel. She's Norwegian. She lives in Belfast. So I'm going to try and give a little bit global perspective on where we're coming from. And it's just not about land-based farming, but it's partially a little bit my interest in sustainability issues and what's really happening to our oceans. And these are sort of drivers for us also in terms of how we think and how we want to approach sustainable seafood production. Because Norway, like Maine, is a big fishery area. You do lobster and a lot of fisheries here in Maine. We also do a lot of seafood in Norway. And if you look at a global level, we are having some major challenges with our wild catch situation globally and the whole sustainability dimension of how we're going to be producing seafood in the future, particularly when you see population growth globally. The World Food Organization is estimating that seafood production needs to double globally in the next 3 or 4 decades. How on earth are we going to do that? And I just wanted to show you this graph here. This dark blue is the global wild catch fisheries volume. It's not growing. So what we've seen globally is really all of the growth in seafood has come from some form of farming. And the question is, if we're going to double this total volume you see here in the next 3 or 4 decades, how are we going to do that sustainably? The answer is kind of complex, but it means that everybody who's in this industry needs to work with innovating in terms of how we grow. So our sort of philosophy around this is really how do you produce more with less, and how do you also protect our seafood resources from some of the environmental changes that we are seeing and we know are going to grow in scope. And the other thing is also, when you look at any kind of seafood production, there's a lot of nutrients that come from this. In many ways, is a resource. But for the most part, if you look at global fisheries, it's really wasted. And much of it goes back into the environment. And that's something we want to do something about. One of our core philosophies is to produce the product close to the customer. And that's why we are here. We want to be close to the customer with a fresh product and doing that in a sustainable, organic manner. The final thing is also knowing where your product is coming from and what it is, and that's a key issue there is traceability, and that's a high priority in any quality seafood production. So these are kind of issues that we focus on. And what we want to do is to create a beacon project here in Belfast and Maine that takes all of these values into it, into a project that will be recognized internationally. And that's exciting. I just wanted to show a little bit more about land-based farming. What is it? This is actually our Danish facility. It produces a fish called the yellowtail kingfish. It's a wonderful sushi fish, sashimi fish. There you sort of get a sense of the dimensions of these tanks. This is actually the world's biggest aquaculture tank ever built that we have in Denmark. And just to note this also, everything is happening indoors. It's all enclosed. So we have no activity of farming outside the buildings. So that's, it's in terms of issues like smell and noise, there is none. It's all enclosed. Let's see. So just to give you a little bit more information about what is land-based farming. So everything starts with fish biology and welfare, understanding what kind of species and fish you're working with and how to make them grow, how to prevent disease. Many of the benefits we have is that we filter and treat all the water we use so we can prevent, for example, sea lice and parasites into the system, which is a big benefit because that's where a lot of the medication is used in the industry today is to treat for parasites and sea lice. We don't have that. This is basically a water treatment plant where we continuously recycle and treat the water inside these buildings. And what we do is we exchange less than 1% of the water in the tanks every hour. So there is some water use, but it's a lot less than what we have seen historically in many facilities. So what we also do is we recycle and remove nutrients. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. Given that, for example, here in Belfast, the closest fish to any shore of water is more than 1,000 feet. It's kind of hard to escape for the fish. So that's another issue, too. You probably have that in here in Maine and the U.S. and also Norway, the discussion about fish escape and what that does to wild fish populations. You have to work very hard to escape from this. There's also some talk about very high energy usage for these kind of facilities. In general, it's about 10 to 15 cents per pound of fish. And that's an alternative to well boats and feed boats and so on that we used in ocean-based farming. So we use different kinds of energy for different purposes. By the way, this, I don't know if you can see it, but this is also from our Danish facility, full of fish. So we're actually starting sales in a couple of weeks from this facility in Europe. And this is also a part of the equation, water treatment technologies. So inside these buildings, you will find various kinds of technologies. These filters here remove organic particles, suspended solids in the water. This is actually taking out CO2 gas in the water. It's important for the fish. In essence, if you want to make this simple, everything that goes into this, you can control. And everything that goes out of it, you can control. And that's what makes this an interesting proposition in terms of also the environmental prospects of projects like this. I wanted to show you a couple of just examples of this is the facility that we are building in Norway. It's in its first building phase now to be the currently the largest salmon facility in Europe for land-based salmon production. Interesting thing also just to show you how it's situated. It's actually almost in the middle of residential area. So we've been very lucky to have a very good dialogue with our neighbors. There's always issues that need to be resolved. We have washed some cars, to put it that way, when there's dust and so on. But these things we agree on, and we fix them. So this gives you sort of an impression of how these things, these facilities can be built into the landscape in various ways. In the Norwegian situation. Just a couple of words about us. We are a privately held Norwegian company owned by Norwegian investors. We have four subsidiaries today. Nordic Aqua Farms is the mother company. It's where the investments and also project development happens. And then production is happening in the subsidiaries. So we have two companies in Denmark, a big hatchery for marine fish, and also a so-called grower facility where the fish go until they're harvest size. And then we have the Norwegian facility currently in construction. And then last fall, we established Nordic Aqua Farms, Inc., a U.S. subsidiary of the company. So some of these facilities are the largest ones of their kind internationally, but they're pretty much dwarfed by what we're trying to do here. So this is a very exciting project. Today, we have 28 employees to be approximately 40 in Europe in the next year. So we are a fast-growing company. We have about 70 to 80 years of production experience in our team, so we have experienced people. We are a little bit unique in the sense we are also investing heavily in engineering. So what we do is we put engineers and fish people together to design solutions that are good for the fish. And that's very important. We have been recognized in Europe, $10 million in sustainability and environmental grants for our work. And our shareholders so far have put in about $40 million US dollars into the operation. And they're digging deeper when we get started here as well. Just a couple of things about the products. You may be familiar with the Monterey Seafood Watch. We do follow all those rating and certification systems. They rate indoor recirculating salmon production as best choice for consumers in the U.S. There aren't many farms of any size in the U.S. today. I think there will be more, but this is the rating. This is the rating that is given in terms of sustainability. As far as us go, there's been some questions on GMO. GMO is forbidden in Norway, just to make that clear. And that's the philosophy we bring with us to the U.S. Our philosophy is to produce a natural product near the customer to provide super fresh product. And our customer market in this case is the Northeast. So this facility has been dimensioned to service the Northeast of the U.S. We focus on fish welfare, mortalities. We generally see low mortalities in these systems because the fish have very stable conditions. They have no sea lice, no parasites, and that does help a lot in terms of keeping mortalities of the fish low. In terms of feed also, there's a very interesting, many interesting developments in the feed markets. We have not made final choices for that yet. I believe one of the feed producers are here today, there you are. So we will have a talk. There's a lot of exciting things happening there, and it's all about really getting sustainable sourcing of your ingredients, and that's something we are concerned about. And that's also necessary to hit organic standards. Just a little bit more, these are kind of things that usually are of high interest in the communities that we work with. So what we do, the 1% of the water that we do exchange, this is my water that's been exposed to the fish where they consume the feed and so on, so it's usually rich on nutrients. So there's a number of important things that we do, and I'd like to make clear that it's really up to each individual land-based facility to decide what they want to do here. They can discharge without doing anything. So we are doing a lot. We are removing over 90% of all nutrients in the water going out. For example, if you looked at solids and biological matter, it's separated out as a sludge, and it's very rich in energy, so you could use it for different purposes like biogas production, soil enrichment, enhancement products, and so on. So what we're going to be looking at here in Maine is what kind of target areas are we going to be aiming for in terms of the market? For example, the agricultural market. Is there a market there that's interesting in terms of this product? That's things we're going to be looking at as we go forward. Another thing, suspended solids reduced by 95%, and that's unique in terms of the history of fish production. The usual approach is to release it, and that's that. That's what most industry does. We don't do that. And also an important thing is, and how is this happening? It's really bacteria is doing a lot of the job. We have big biofilters that reduce a lot of these nutrients inside the system. So it's all happening inside these buildings, more or less. Phosphorus is another thing that we want to be very good at. Phosphorus can promote algae growth. So if you release a lot of it, that's not a good situation. So that, again, we reduce by over 90% also in what we discharge. And we also treat for bacteria, so you greatly reduce the risk of any disease spread, which is also always a concern. And all of this, in this case, will go far off the coastline, dispersed with the currents. So in typically also on other facilities, you see really no ecological footprint from it locally. And that's what's important for us. Use of water. I know there's always questions of this. We don't know what we're going to do yet. And I'm sure Elizabeth can tell a little bit more about that. This is really one of the key conditions for going forward here. What's unique with this is that we're using a combination of fresh water and seawater. So we need to access both. And the technology allows you to reduce and reduce and reduce the amount of water you need. So that's an equation we're going to be looking at here in terms of how we get the right technology mix in terms of what's available of sustainable water resources. As far as fresh water goes, we have the water district as a potential supplier and a supplier, actually. We will be looking a little bit at the dams and also wells opportunities. The key condition for me is that any water we take is sustainable over time. If it's not, we won't do it. So when we have more information about all this assessment activity, then we can sit down and conclude, okay, will this work? Is it sustainable? Okay, then we can move forward and work with that. I'm going to round off now because Elizabeth is taking over in a second, but I just wanted to say a little bit again while we're here. I think you will find that we are transparent. We want to be transparent. When we don't have answers, it's because we don't have them. Usually, we have engineering work and everything ahead of us. We want to be in dialogue with the community. It's worked really well in Europe. I hope to have the same opportunity here. And also that we will be back. We're still in a situation where we don't have staff on the ground, but I will be back every month, sometimes with colleagues from the company. So we will try to be here on a regular basis and also put out a news feed on a regular basis, probably from our website that can be linked to the city site, so you can get some updates on what's going on. Yeah. So in the end, we are looking at 7 to 8 months to clarify many of these questions and permitting. That's what we're looking at. So we hope it works out. So we're but there are many variables in play. With that, I'd like to give you a couple of words, Elizabeth. And when you're done, I'm going to just do a little bit about the time plan, just what's going to happen over time.
I think for many of you, this could be the first time you've had a chance to take a detailed look, so I'm going to leave this up for just a moment. And then, Eric, do you have the... So this is the area we are currently studying. It involves this orange area that's shown in the shoreland zone, as well as the parcels in the gray crosshatch, and the entire... area that is being looked at for development is a total of about 40 acres. So some of you may be wondering, why did we end up in Belfast? What are the things that led us here? So back in about June, Eric came to our company and introduced us to the idea of land-based aquaculture and the market that he was looking to be involved with involved everything from about Washington, D.C. to the Canadian border. And so we were tasked with finding him possible sites within that large geographic area. And obviously, being from Maine, I said, hey, Maine seems like a great place. But I had to really scientifically prove that. It's not enough for me to just say Maine sounds like it would be a great fit for this kind of project. So we went at this through various geographic information system databases that are available and looked at available mapping to see sort of how do we start narrowing this down. But we wanted to do this for a couple of reasons. Aside from the fact we thought Eric had a pretty neat project, we also, as a environmental consulting and engineering firm, we focus on trying to do things that are ultimately going to be beneficial to the environment we're living in. And the U.S. has quite a seafood deficit. We only produce about 10% of the seafood that we eat in this country. So the thought of working on something that's a sustainable project sounded pretty good to us. We looked at the fact that the region he's trying to get product out to in the Northeast has a significant population within driving distance of the coast. So as a place to settle, this region makes maybe more sense than some other areas of the southern portion of the U.S. or out along the Gulf Coast. We spent, as I said, about 6 months looking at different mapping and scientific data to find things that would be proximate to ocean water or saline water would have a good chance of finding an abundant supply of fresh water, would have adequate transportation. Many of us who live along the main coast in the summertime know that parts of our coast are a little harder to negotiate during summer. And we wanted to have something that was going to be stimulating for a business to be here, but we also wanted to find a great community. So part of why we're in Belfast is that at the end of the day, when we had our list of potential candidate sites, this is a community where if I'm trying to bring an employee or if I'm trying to grow a business, there's a vibrant town here, and it's a really attractive place to be. So that's probably a good part of why we're here. One of the other, some of the other factors that we were looking at from a scientific perspective is obviously what's the quality of the water. A number of places in Maine do, in fact, have both fresh and seawater, but some of that's already been impaired. And one of the things that Belfast Bay has is relatively clean compared to many portions of the state. And certainly, as you travel south of the main line, there's a lot more impacts to both sea and fresh water. So part of what we were here is the quality of the water that you have. The seawater in the bay is at 20 degrees C or centigrade or cooler for most of the year. So obviously, although Eric does have a warm water species that he's working with in Denmark, we're looking at a cold water species here. And so providing adequate growing conditions means starting with cold water so that you don't have to chill that water and spend the energy cost to do that. We like what we saw in terms of the potential for fresh water. We're working on verifying that there is, in fact, adequate fresh water at the site right now. But in terms of the site geology, it seemed quite promising, at least initially, for freshwater development. Obviously, the site has more than one area, more than one way of getting fresh water. We can install groundwater wells. We can make some use of the surface water potentially that's there in the reservoirs, but we also have the potential in Belfast to purchase water. Keith can probably speak a little bit more to this during the question and answer session, but my understanding is that Belfast used to have a pretty active chicken processing industry here, and at the time, the city was able to provide water for that industry. Since that industry has left, the city now has excess capacity, so that is part of the arrangement here is that we've got the availability of your water supply should it be needed to be purchased in the future as this facility expands. The other thing, as I said, transportation to and from the site by truck is still possible even in the summertime. It's not like there's a lot of truck traffic going in and out of this facility, but when it does go in and out, you want to be able to do that in a way that's not seriously impeded by summer traffic. And as I said, it's a great town. You have a vibrant downtown, and it's a great place to settle.
You're listening to a recording of the meeting held Wednesday, February 21st, 2018, at the Hutchison Center to discuss the proposed onshore salmon farm here in Belfast. We'll be back in a moment.